This is Just Talk with Sam podcast, y'all. Just Talk with Sam podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this till like right now.
Seriously.
If you're on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all is listening, we never write this out.
What's up, y'all? It's your man Sam, host of the Just Talk with Sam podcast. Host of the Just Talk with Sam podcast. Dog, we got a good one for y'all. A real good one. We got some special guests in the building. We got Red Tape Riot. We sit down and talk with Todd, Pat, Mark, and Jeff. We talk about music. We talk about life. We talk about a lot of stuff. But before we get into all of that, we got to do some housekeeping. For starters, I want to say thank you to all the ones who went to samshownation.com and donated via the donate button via samshownation.com and help us out. You guys have helped this podcast grow. You guys pay for server costs. You guys keep the free funny, well, free. Those who haven't, you know, do it. Go to samshownation.com, click the donate button, and give as your heart's content. You can give from a dollar to 3.5 billion if you just got it laying around the house. This podcast has always been crowdsourced, and you guys are diehard fans, and you keep this thing going, so thank you so much. We have to do a little bit more housekeeping. We got two sponsors today, you know, here at Just Talking with Sam podcast. Two sponsors we have are the good folks at Hotels.com. Let's face it. We talked about this a few episodes ago. We kind of hint towards it. I got a kid. Sure do. It's not really quiet around this house. But whenever I need to get out, get some quiet, get some peace. You know, if you one of those people who need to go out for business, family, whatever you got going on, go to samshownation.com under the current promotions page. Hit the hotels.com icon and help yourself out, man. They got over 150,000 hotels within the continental U.S. You know, whether you're doing it for pleasure, business, whatever, they will help you get the lowest rate possible. If you just need to get out, even if, you know what, I'll just throw it out there. If you're cheating, my cheaters, look, judgment I am not passing on you, but if you gotta do it, click the hotels.com button at samshownation.com. Get yourself a good deal on the hotel, and you know, not gonna lie to us, a little kickback. That is what it is. Our second sponsor today, not that Hotels.com condones cheating, but we have to, yeah, whatever. Anyway, second sponsor today is the good folks at Amazon.com. Let's face it, it's the internet. It's internet shopping. You are going to go to Amazon. It's inevitable. Like moths to a flame, baby. The only thing we ask is you take that quick detour, go to SamShowNation.com, click the link at Hotel. Click the link at Amazon.com and shop as you normally would. You could get yourself a picture frame, a couple of DVDs, or if you're really liking the show, you can get a CD of our good buddies who will be with me shortly, and you can download some tracks from Red Tape's Riot EP, Rally Behind the Big Wheel. They're on Amazon, so is everything else. Help them out, man. You like the music so much, why don't you go ahead and buy it? Go to Amazon.com, get Red Tape Riot. Speaking of our guests, like I just kind of mentioned it, we got Todd, Pat, Mark, and Jeff. We're going to sit down, we're going to talk with them, we'll get into their music forefront, but it wouldn't be the podcast if we didn't play some of their music, get a little taste of them. You guys go with me on different locations, different places, and we all find cool shit together. This is no different. So I'm going to shut up for a second. I'm going to play the first track off their EP, and that is Beautiful. I will see y'all after the song, and you know, we'll get into it. But here's Beautiful by Red Tape Riot.
No,
I don't
this
edit
out,
shit.
He's like, no.
I'm here with the guys
Red
Tape Riot. Guys, we're going to do a round of horn. Introduce yourself.
Todd Schoenemann, singer, songwriter, guitar player.
Jeff Weir, drums.
Mark Pilato, vocals, guitar.
Patrick Weirs, bass.
He likes hearing himself. You can tell he likes hearing himself. All right, Matt. First of all, I wanted to say thank you guys for coming to do the podcast.
Thank you. More
than appreciate it. Before we even start blabbering and get into all of this stuff, where can they find you on Twitter, Facebook, whatever? Do it now before we start rambling and forget.
First place is first, redtaperiot.com, Facebook /redtaperiot, Twitter /RTRiot, ReverbNation/redtaperiot, and check us out there. Also follow us on SoundCloud.
All right.
Because we're there, too.
Yeah, so is everyone.
And we have music there.
As I say, we got the albums available on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon. Also, haven't really gotten into that yet, but just throw it out there. Just
okay.
Case.
Great. Totally throw your stuff out. Like, we talked a little bit off mic. I heard about you guys from a good friend of the show, Shotgun Soul, Liz, and she spoke you guys up, which made me go on the internet and go to, I want to say, your website, then with SoundCloud, to figure out about you guys. And I heard the song Home, which is a pretty good song. It reminded me of, like, alternative before it got crazy. Let's think. When I say before it got crazy, when you just threw, I'm thinking older post grunge, right before alternative kind of like did that little meet and greet with.
You're talking beginning 90s, started ish.
Yeah.
Late 80s into the 90s.
Exactly.
That transition period before it got all commercialized and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Back when, I'm just throwing out a couple of names, like Lisa Loeb, early Smashing Pumpkins, or latter Nirvana, or like in that area. But my point is, it reminded me of that period where it was cool. It was cool to like, and it wasn't just the douche guy from college who just learned three chords and was singing about water.
Right. Right. And sex and candy in the back room. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The dude smoking weed on the street.
Hitting the one piano note.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. So what do you attribute to that sound? Was that a call-in? This is how you guys were bred.
I think with us, it's like usually we'll bring an idea to the table and everybody interjects their own foundation from where they came from and injects it, and it creates this project. So even, let's say, even if I wrote Home, what ends up being the final product of Home is way different from how I had imagined it, because I come in and they add their...
Well, yeah, originally you wrote that on an acoustic guitar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey. And then I...
Yeah, there's a couple stories for this song, actually.
I just recently got a piano, so I was like, I may as well throw some piano into our stuff, and then I tried doing the piano with Home, and ended up sounding really good. So
okay,
It actually was.
I think that was our first piano song. Too,
it was.
It?
I think maybe.
Was I think
it?
So. Yeah,
I think it was.
It might have been. I know when we started, it was going to be fast. It was going to be like a fast-paced song, and then this piano lick came out.
Yeah.
And then I retook my bass and focused with the piano kind of function there, and it was kind of like, well, is this going to be a fast song or a slow song? And we started feeling, no, it's kind of going to like
adding that new element. It's like, you know, somebody could have something really awesome going on, and you're like, maybe we should pursue that part of the aspect of the song and kind of explore that more.
Yeah, that's what I like about how we write stuff, because it'll be like you said, we all just kind of throw our piece into it, and then we kind of just go with the one that we all feel is it. That's the one that we're going
to... Now, after listening to a few songs, you know, I did come up with, you know, the fact that you guys talk from different perspectives, feelings, and moods. Okay, is that a collective thing? If not, is that, like, you may have an experience and, like, I don't know about that, I don't know if it feels right or whatever. Where does the writing come from? Is it more of a life journey? Or
yeah, Todd,
like, oh, I think this is so cool.
It's a difficult question, because some songs are specific about things and some are kind of in general, I'm feeling this way and, you know, it's me against the world type situation. So you write songs and a lot of the times they're not very specific into one area, like somebody robbed me on a corner or something.
Okay, okay.
It's more or less like I feel, I don't know, vulnerable.
All right, let me
like
put
that.
You in a space where when I listen to the songs, it reminds me, this is a corny example, and please smash me for it, of a coming-of-age movie. Like, there's, like, I'm listening to this, and like, God damn, this could be Stand By Me. This could be.
Kind of. I think what's interesting is that, you know, there's always kind of a base connection that's brought to the table. And, you know, Todd or Mark may bring lyrics involved and may have a story or a theme of something that is personal to them, or maybe not. And the rest of us just kind of feel that mood or that theme and come from our own place that we can identify with it and throw in our own interpretation, and that's kind of what
evolves.
Cool.
That's a great thing about lyrics, is everybody can apply the lyrics to some event in their own lives. So it's like, even if you, even if I was writing about something specific, that other people are able to relate to it, because it's not like I'm writing specifics into the song. I may be writing about a song, but using general sense of the term.
Okay.
And
right,
other
well,
people
like,
are
yeah,
able
if like
to,
you were to say, I feel so empty in a lyric or something, it'd be like, okay, I feel empty because I lost my girlfriend. I feel empty because I don't have a job right now. I feel empty because
I'm hungry.
This and that. right. I'm starving.
Like an introspective.
I feel empty. You know, it's like a lot of it's very broad. So it's like he said, he may have had something in mind when he was writing them, but that way they can be interpreted in many different
okay.
ways.
Okay. Like I said, like an introspective game of telephone.
Like, I got it. Yeah.
Because, exactly okay, I is. Feel this way. How do you feel about the way I feel?
Right.
Which is cool because I've talked about it a little bit on previous things I've done. Like, okay, I'm listening to – I never said your name because I didn't want to spoil of who's coming on the show. But I was like, yeah, I'm listening to him, and it's like – it's deep. It's grown-up music, but it's not old. If that makes
right.
sense. It's grown up, but it's not old.
That's nice to hear.
Maybe
actually.
I could try and,
I think part of that, too, was, again, to our burst preferences, is very different. It was the collaborative that gives it just a touch off of anything. It's like you recognize it.
Yeah.
Yet, at the same time, you're like, well, it's kind of a mix of this, or it's a mix of this, which is a hard question for us to answer, is what do you guys sound like? And it's like, well, I mean, our different perspectives, like, you're red, you're blue, I'm doing yellow, and he's doing orange. It's funny, that's exactly what's popping
right,
in my head.
Honestly, I try my best never to ask that question. Like, who do you sound like? One, that lets me know Sam has not done his research. Two, you're not going to sound like anyone else. You're going to sound like you.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
gonna
that's
sound,
just
that's it.
What, yeah, we not only, like, is it, do we feel like we don't really sound like any particular band? It's just like, we've been asked that question like so many times, and we'll be like, I don't know, maybe if you do, if you crossbred this band with that band,
let me
and
give you a little hit. What that
a
is?
A little bit
lazy
yeah.
journalism. That's
right.
what that is.
Right.
It's basically whenever you know what I'm giving an insider secret for your next interview or whoever you have. Whenever they ask you that, they want you to do their job for them because they probably did listen.
You should fire back at them. What do you think you sound like?
That's the best way to do it.
Right.
Like, well, I think it's better.
You know,
I think you sound like music.
You know what I think was
and
worse?
Music is good.
You know what I think was worse, though, is if a band or an artist can come back and say, oh, well, we sound like this, which means that I think that the music isn't honest because we don't have an intention to sound
that's
like
the sound you were
that's
going
what
for.
I was going to say is we don't go in going we want to sound like this.
Yeah,
we come out going this is how we sound.
Right. Let's
right,
write
right.
a song like Zeppelin or
yeah,
let's write a song.
What it
no,
is. It's not
it
like we're we have
yeah.
some sort of
agenda.
Agenda. Yeah. All right. But speaking of agendas, I mean, like when it comes down to art, all artists make art based on the art they're not seeing. So if you guys aren't seeing you, good. Keep doing it.
Right.
Because if you start seeing you, that means something's wrong with you guys. Right.
And you're...
Yeah,
we're
you're
always...
Falling.
We whenever we play live shows, we'll play, you know, we'll play with other bands, and we're always, like, just
100%
way
different yeah.
than every other band that we end up
True.
Playing with.
True.
It's, like, it's... Sometimes it's kind of, like, aggravating because we'll be, like, we kind of wish that we could play with, you know... bands that were more like us, but at the same time we're like, it's kind of cool because
it's tough for people
the
to
only
book
ones
us too
like
because
us.
They're like, okay, you know, we'll put you with some metal groups or something like that. And then like, we go out there and everybody's just staring at us and we're like, okay. And
well,
then we did that punk
show. I didn't come here to feel things, damn it.
Right.
Right.
I don't want to cry.
I just came from a show. I did a reunion with my old band, but just came from that show. And there was six other bands. And it was a fun, it was a great show. And the question was, would Red Tape Riot fit in with this crew? There was a lot of jump. There was a lot of pop. And a part of it is, yes, we would. But at another part is, we would still stand out. Because it's just unique enough to not fit in completely.
It does make it tough, though, because...
Everybody would nod their head.
Right. It does make it tough because you know, when we are booked with those people, sometimes it's hard to get people into our music because they're there to see certain bands.
Right, and they like
metal. They're not fitting into that.
Punk, yeah.
Yeah. You know, if I'm going to a punk club, I don't think I'm going to see you guys.
Right.
If you're there, I'm like, all right, let's just ride this thing out. Let's just see how it works.
Right. Well, we've done the punk thing, and it didn't go so high.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, yeah, sometimes it goes better than others. Sometimes the crowd there, you know, if we bring enough fans.
Oh, yeah. It just picks it out. It's like, right. Your guy. Okay, that's good. That's good. Always with come with 50 people love you.
Right.
I almost want to point that out. We had a show that was Punk Night we went to, and we didn't know till we got there. We're like, Punk Night.
Clemens, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're like, Punk Night. who got the memo that it's Punk Night?
We were never told
well,
that.
Well, your name, if I just read it, kind of sounds like a
yes,
punk band.
Right.
It
kind of
is.
Does.
Like,
it is a misconception.
Right.
Yes.
Opening well, for
and at that
Hanson's
time,
Freak Out.
We at that time, I think we were Severance.
We were a different band name.
More.
Oh, I want to jump into that, too. You guys, one of the things I like about you guys, after doing some homework, some Googling and all this stuff, other than figuring out you guys are overnight sensations. Like, 10 years, right? For Mark and Todd, this is 10 years, and you guys are overnight, according to Radio Opie. Yeah, I'm kind of smashing them a little bit. Overnight, you jumped to the top of the charts overnight for 10 years.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much. Here's the only way, and I'm not shitting on Radio Opie. Okay, a little bit. But here's why I think they kind of said that when I Googled that. You guys had, like, three chances. You guys were Avenue, then you were Severance, now you're Red Tape Riot. What's with the name changes?
Well, me and Mark started out as Avenue in a different band. Like, these two guys weren't involved.
Okay.
Pat and Jeff weren't involved with that. But since I started playing music and writing music, Mark and me have been doing it together, basically, from day one.
Yeah, I started in a basement, you know, with, you know, a acoustic guitar, you know, each had an acoustic guitar, and we had a drummer that never wanted to drum, and
that's like, the worst kind of drummer
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and you know, it just over the years, we Avenue ended up just falling apart because the girl that was in the band quit, and that it was right after we made the CD. She was a big part of the CD, so that's an accurate representation of the CD. The bass player was a guitar player, so he was done.
All right, let me guess. How old are
the
you?
The Lives and Loves.
What's that?
Of
at
band.
That time?
No, I mean, how old were you at this time? At the time of Avenue?
The high school.
I was 18.
I was, yeah. I was, yeah. When we first started
like
playing,
16.
I was like 14, 15.
Yeah.
And then Avenue was all through high school. I think I was like 18 when we ended up like splitting for a while.
Okay.
Took a 2-year hiatus. Then we
turned into Severance.
We started new with Severance, and we had a bass player. Didn't last long. Got Pat.
Okay.
And then
the problem with Severance was a lot of people had that name, and then there was another band that had come out. It was like spelled a little bit differently, but they were like from the same area. So
and they were in high school.
Yeah,
a high school band.
People were like, hey, I heard on the radio you guys are playing here or whatever. And we're like, no, we're not playing
here.
So
not one time did you guys try to get the chicks? Yeah, we are. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and then our fans go to that show and then,
and know you. So,
right.
Yeah, there you go. So I get that. Yeah.
See, I actually thought that we changed because the music was changing already by then. We were
dropping
the old stuff.
That was definitely part of it.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Especially Severance, too.
The other Severance was like a thorn in the side because, like, I kept getting emails about
it.
It
was like the straw that broke the camel's back,
right,
basically.
Right.
We were all kind of thinking about changing the name and thinking that it didn't represent us right. But then that was the
especially because around that time we started writing different material.
Yeah.
Like Contra came
out
right around that time.
Contra actually was the changer. I wish we had that extra recorded for everyone listening, but that was the changer.
Honestly, I tapped into you guys as Severance once. I've heard a Severance song before I knew it was you guys. This is some, like, when I was doing a Google for here, I remember the song that I heard in high school. And I was like, huh, I wonder if they're the same people. Then, so, I'm blanking out on the name right now, and I feel bad. I have to text you or something after it's over. I'm blanking, but it was a song, and I wrote it down. I was like,
They are out there. I put them out there.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, I saw that.
But, I mean, no one is, you know, it's a little irony that the band called Severance broke up. I mean, no one saw that coming up.
Well, I feel like originally when I started with Mark, it was me and Mark's Severance from the Avenue genre.
Keep wanting to say Mark and I.
And that's where that name came from. So it was like, we're starting something new. But
okay.
And then Pat came in.
Then you had like 37 bands named Severance.
Yeah.
Okay, but
like a good idea at the time. Okay, Sam.
It does sound like a good song. I mean, look, it sounds like a good band name. It's just... That actually shows how...
Especially with the layoffs.
That's when I came in. That's what I asked. I was like, is this about severance pay? Because everybody's getting laid off. What's your band's name about? That's right when I came in.
Okay.
It was the 2008
now,
hell.
And now you're Red Tape Riot. One of the things I love to ask bands, groups, solo acts, whenever we interview them, what didn't make it? What was the thing right before... Red Tape Riot. What was the band name? There's always a band name right before the one you guys picked.
There's actually a few.
Well, I would like to hear that.
Soundbent Riot was one of them.
Yeah. Soundbent Riot.
Yeah.
What we did was we got together.
Yeah, Jeff wasn't around for this.
This is new information to you, too.
Yeah. This is great. I'm going to sit back and enjoy that.
There was quite a few, though, on
what
that table.
To, we came up with a bunch of things. Like, we're just throwing them out.
Yeah.
Like,
and even just like, keywords that we liked. And we were like, we like Riot. We like...
Tape.
You know, yeah. We like... No, we like...
Yeah, right.
Well, originally
well,
we
like... explains. I mean, what do we...
We like the Bent because it was just kind of like... Because we're different than everybody.
Yeah, we're trying
to
change that.
And the Riot just because we're going, you know, kind of against the grain of what, you know, the music industry wants us to do, and which is to be this mainstream thing that we don't want to be.
Okay.
Right, you should play this style, you should follow these clothes,
you
should
have done that, and then, you know, but it's like, this is not, that wouldn't have been
us. Shut up now, I didn't forget about you. You know the names that didn't make it.
Oh, no, yeah, no, go ahead.
I'm trying to think of, the Union Initiative was one.
Yeah,
yeah, I wasn't necessarily the big fan of that one.
The Union Initiative.
I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
He liked it. That's why I threw it out.
There was...
Breach the Barrier was
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that was another one.
Then Soundbent Bent Riot. What we did was we took those, the four that were like, everybody was kind of okay with.
Right.
And then we sent it to our fan base, whoever was on our mailing list, and we're like, all right, it's down to these four names. We're renaming our band. Which one would you choose? And it was like 78 or 80% of the people who responded was Red Tape Riot.
And when I read that, I thought that was pretty cool that you reached out to the fans. You guys use social media or whatever to reach out to your guys. Like, look, what do you want to call us? We've changed our name twice. It's up to you guys to know who we are now. And you guys became Red Tape Riot because of the fans. That's a big shout out to your fans. But, you know, I love asking what didn't make it.
Yeah.
Because what didn't make it is always kind of like, there's always that one guy, man, like a new should have been the Union Initiative.
Yeah.
We just blows off the tongue, man.
We actually, our drummer things, at the time still had that
those times,
issue
too, where you commit to a name, and then you look back later, and you're thinking, why the hell did we name ourselves this? Now we're kind of stuck with it, because this is, you know, we got labeled. An older band I played with, we called ourselves the Swindle Hub.
The Swindle Hub.
And everyone's like, it's a Swindle Hub. And it's like we try to get all creative with words, you know. We're like picking synonyms, you know, to that were kind of obscure to explain ourselves. And then everyone was like, what the hell is a Swindle Hub? And it's like, why the fuck did we name ourselves that? Everybody asked
us. And it's too late to change it because people know
right,
the Swindle
exactly.
Hub.
And the E looked like a C.
Swindle
Chub.
Swindle Chub.
I got a Swindle Chub.
Well, if you met my
there's
kid,
some guy from Ohio driving up to kick your ass.
Chubbing myself.
I'm going to go Swindle Chub over here.
Oh, I did some Swindle Chub. A little bit. He's over there. He's proof.
Right.
I've done it at least one time.
Exactly. Hey, we've had a good show tonight, man. I'm going to have a Swindle Chub.
Yeah. I'm going down to Ashley's. You know, probably find a couple of girls, some little trouble.
Why do you think we're here?
Come on,
do
that,
leisurely penis.
The leisurely penis opening for Red Tape Riot. Get your tickets now.
Little chubbin.
But I read in your bio that you used the Detroit scene as a proving ground, which boggles my mind because a lot of people use the. I don't think it's too unrealistic to think about it. You guys use it as a proving ground. Others that I've had using your same mics have used that Detroit scene as more of a togetherness, friendship type thing. You guys are pretty upfront about your competitiveness in the market. Others have said, like, look, we're friends with a lot of bands, but at the end of the day, we want to be competitive. But you guys were pretty up. You were the first that were upfront about it. You want to elaborate?
I think a lot of that comes from the difference in genre, because nobody's going to like us in Detroit if you book us with, you know, the heavy metal stuff.
Heavy metal.
Like screams like music.
We have to be really
hardcore.
Good at what we do in order to get those people to respond to us. So that's what we meant by proving ground.
Okay.
I mean, like, Detroit has a lot of great artists. Like, yeah. I don't feel we don't have any rivalries with
actually,
anybody,
we're in a tough pool of music when it comes down, because there's a lot of musicians out there, and I love that we have
you're a rarity
these musicians, right?
And I was just about to get to that. That's actually the next bullet on there. But, like, you guys are an alternative band. After the quote-unquote alternative movement has passed, no one's trying to sound like Billy Corgan anymore.
Right.
Everyone wants this weird pop iTunes sound.
Yeah.
But you guys are doing what you guys do, making people cry. it is an emotional type music. Like, yeah, I remember. Like, I listen to some songs and I'm like, hey. I remember, I'm not that old, but I remember a time in my life when I, and
dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's interesting because I kind of compare the modern music scene similar to like what was going on in the 80s. And it's entertainment-oriented. It's surfacey. It's fun. It's about partying, having a good time. It's about excess.
Seeing a character.
Also,
yeah,
stake.
Right. Yeah. To where I think, you know, the alternative scene in the 90s is kind of a rejection of that and more internal, more thoughtful, more human.
Yeah,
you know, human experience. And
sometimes whiny.
Oh, big
sometimes.
Time.
Sometimes. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not. We're not emo.
Defend.
I was just going to get there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. You guys are not Dashboard Confessional, so right. You're good. You are riding that line right now, and this is, please bash me if I'm wrong, but you are Latter-day Alice in Chains after Lane. You are.
Ain't bad.
After Darcy Smashing Pumpkins. Level of whiny. That's not to say you sound like them. I'm just saying your level of whininess where, like, look, we got problems, but
we're not.
Everybody's
totally self-absorbed in it.
You're not beating yourself up about it. Like, goddamn, you know. I don't listen to your album and want to send you a picture that says, look, I'll hug you if you need me to hug you. Jesus Christ.
They're giving out free hugs Sunday, I heard.
Well, I love Radiohead, and sometimes you want to go, like, commit suicide.
There you go. You're not at that level, but
Red Tape Riot does not condone suicide.
Absolutely not.
Does not condone it, but if you go to a Red Tape Riot show, you may get a free hug. Opening for Pantsless Riot at Wonder Show.
That's all right.
I'll take a free hug.
Hey,
everybody likes hugs.
I'll give free hugs.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a hug. But right. Hug out.
I
may even get you a beer. Don't go to town with that.
What's first, the beer or the hug?
Well.
I'm right there.
The beer always puts a smile on your face, and the hug is a little bit more friendly.
A hug always follows beer. Come on.
Right.
I think you're right, though. I think that, I don't know if it's intentional, but maybe it's just our collaboration of kind of that element of being thoughtful, but at the same time being entertaining and having fun with the music and not being too serious.
But with your music, you guys touch on some deep topics, but you're still family friendly. It's family safe to the point where you're not like super like, yeah, this one time this bitch did this. You're not. Right. But what I'm getting at is I always want to know what is the – you guys got a strong work ethic, and I'm going to get into that in a second. But what's your family think? Do they look at you guys when they come to the shows? They're like, well, it's just Jeff and Pat doing their thing. Or do they know the stories behind it? Like, oh, my God, Mark really is taking that breakup hard. Or, like, do they have that?
That's a tough question.
Well,
I mean, I was
going to say for a lot of the songs, I don't think, you know, the family knows what most of them are about, per se.
Well, not necessarily the songs, but what I'm just saying, when they look at you, when they – are they just like, oh, well, they're just doing their thing again. We're proud of them.
My family's pretty supportive. My one sister shows up pretty much to every show.
Okay.
For years, man.
Since the Michelle, Avenue days.
Shout out to Michelle.
Yeah, shout out to Michelle for sure.
Thanks, Shale.
My family's really supportive. They know that music is something that I couldn't live without, and they definitely encourage it.
Pat and I, I'll speak for you here. You know, we come from an artsy fartsy family. So from the
West
from
Bloomfield,
from, no,
you
know,
no,
Pinky,
no, no,
Pinky
no, no,
up in there,
none of that pretentious.
The upper crust society.
Take artsy fartsy with a grain of salt.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, not pretentious bullshit. But
okay, all
I feel
right.
Like you guys need to add a saxophone and a flute.
The Glockenspiel.
Why are there no bassoon players?
Have they asked us that? No. Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, from day one, you know, we grew up in kind of an environment where, you know, theater, film, music was always kind of around us. So as soon as we gravitated towards music individually, they were supportive right from the get-go.
Okay.
So they understand because they've, you know, engaged in the arts themselves, that there's a need there. So to hear that we're still playing or that we're still involved in some project, whatever it is, they're completely supportive and they're like, man, go rock it out. Go do it. Go do your thing.
I think the family would be more disappointed
if
we weren't doing anything.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
They'd be like, oh, something's wrong.
Yeah. And there would be.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
You guys are doing good. All right, look, you guys have been with my competitors. You guys did an interview with them. Well, I don't even call them competitors because they're a different platform. But either way, you guys are getting heat on Radio OP. You guys are on the Hard Rock Rising CD. Well, showcase. It's a CD, too.
Yeah.
But it's more of a showcase of artists. Since you're getting heat, do you guys still rely back on those humble beginnings? Like, we're still doing what I'm doing? Or do you guys got that, like, we're the shit feeling?
No.
I don't feel like we've ever really had that. Like,
I've had it at practice.
I'm a vulnerable.
Where we played a Greg, I'm like, oh, we're the shit.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the community and everything, no.
I feel like, musically, you know, I'm a vulnerable musician. Like, sometimes I question myself all the time.
I get there.
And, you know, I work my ass off to get better. But, like, and if you're doing that and you realize that you're humble and that you're not God's gift to the planet Earth, that you're just trying to make your way, I think it makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I envy that because I do jump in. I mean, even me as a podcaster, we're performers. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But for about an hour, I'm not going to bullshit you. For about an hour a week, if I see something good, I'm like, yes, God damn it,
I mean, don't get me wrong. We've there's been bands that we played with that were like, I'm glad that we're after these guys.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's been bands that we played with that were like, we got to follow these guys.
All right, we got to tighten this up, guys.
There's been that.
You know, it's like six of one, half a dozen on the other. You know, you got
I think one of the main conceptions of us all here at this table is the fact that when we go in and we play music, we never are like, I am awesome, you are awesome, we are awesome. It's always like there's always so much more to learn.
Yep.
There's always more. There's more to do.
Yeah.
I got to get out of my box. What else do I got? And it's always the growing process.
Okay. All right.
A lot of the core makeup of the band is really, it's not centered on one person. It's what makes Red Tape Riot great is everybody. We wouldn't be Red Tape Riot without everybody being there. Like, if Mark was gone, that would be a huge hole. You know, we can say that for every member.
Right, we were talking about doing, possibly doing, Todd couldn't make a show in April. We were talking about possibly doing a show in April without Todd, just to do it, to get the exposure still. And we're looking at, you know, the set lists and stuff, and I was like, okay, so.
We really need Todd.
I'm like, okay, so I'm playing rhythm guitar. If Todd's not there, then this isn't going to be heard, and then that, you know. So we ended up just passing on the show just because it wouldn't have been an accurate representation.
And that's
of
a
us.
Good. That's a good move. That shows your togetherness. It shows how much, you know, you are a band and you're not fame chasers.
No. We're in individuals that love playing music, and we come together and create it.
Yeah, there was a time for that, but I feel like we don't really care about that anymore.
Yeah,
now,
we're kind of being that.
One thing with the, you guys essentially have come from different bands. Like, I've counted three since sitting at this table alone.
He's got a couple over there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You guys got some bands under your belt.
I got a couple.
Do you guys consider yourself?
This guy's the band whore.
I'll play for anybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's not quite like that.
With all the band these days.
I'm a little older, so I have a.
I'm just saying.
I have a longer
next
path.
Next week, I'm with Pantsless Freakout.
That's right. Oh yeah. If I played with him.
Hey, knock it off. You guys are giving me a swindle chub.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know what he does with that.
Leisurely penis.
Get on, BC. But what I'm getting at is, for lack of a better term, since you guys have that experience, do you guys, I'm calling it the career reset button? Because not only do you have those experiences with those other bands, do you guys come together and just say, all right, remember that one time I was with this band, they messed up there. Maybe we should do this instead of that. Do you guys kind of like share war stories or what have you?
Not really, actually. Todd and I have been in all the same bands, so it's like we know the war stories.
Oh, you're a package deal.
Pat and Jeff, rather, I don't know, I feel like any stories we heard about the bands were just, you know, we did this show this one time.
It's somehow relatable to something maybe that, you know, we're dealing with or a situation that we're going into when we're playing.
It's like a relationship. It's like red flags, though. You notice them. I mean, you don't go, oh, this is a red flag, and then shove it in the band's face. But you worry about it. You go, okay, I remember when I came across
you
this.
You experienced some of the same things that happened in previous bands. You know, some of them are bad, and you feel it, and you're like, okay, let's go away from this because we know where that would take us if we were to go down that road kind of thing. You know, just like...
And I think for myself anyway, I think the bottom line is, you know, I come into each new project throughout the years with a fresh attitude and try not to compare it to a past band. And, you know, the bottom line is, am I having fun? If I'm having fun, I'm going to hang out. I'm going to play. I'm going to have a good time. If it becomes a problem, then that's, you know, when you start making considerations.
And that's healthy. That's healthy. Yeah. Just to have that. I like how you say, put it like a relationship. You don't want to say, oh, my God, I've seen this before. I want to get out because, well, things went sour last time. So,
The no ego thing helps a lot with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not unfun to hang out with these guys.
Yeah.
You go into practice and you're like, let's make music.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, let's be
the
silly.
The idea, though,
while we
is
do
if,
it,
we don't have
fun,
if we don't have fun,
what's the point
there's
doing
a problem.
It? Right.
Yeah,
and exactly. We got to remember to never let go of the fun factor of
the
band. Oh,
my God, that's exactly what I'm doing here. It's like, if I'm not having fun meeting people and having interviews and doing stuff and just kicking it, yeah, I should unplug this shit right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That was one of the problems with the old the old Severance bass player. He was just like business.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Business. Like it was there was no laughing, no anything.
No fun. What do you
no
mean?
Fun.
Like
no
what
stuff.
Is
like, this is how
you,
things are done.
The Omega Corp, boom, boom, boom. Oh, God damn it. I can't do it.
We'd,
you know?
we stray a little bit and start laughing and he'd go off.
I want to hear more about
these. Yeah, these old band woes and these guys. I heard about it when I came in.
Bass.
Yeah.
Stormed upstairs.
And just and that was how it ended. He threw his bass.
Get the fuck out.
And just said, take your shit and get out of my house.
He had a temper tantrum?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was multiple times. Yeah.
Hey, this shit happens in bands, though. I mean, I've been in my own.
At the end of
this
that,
shit happens.
Like, look, I get any type of medium that you are in close quarters with any number of people. Yeah, there's going to be some friction. I get that. Yeah,
absolutely.
But why? That's what I'm getting at. Is like, why the temper tantrum?
I don't know.
He was, you know, he was a very analytical person, type A personality, and you got surrounded by type Bs who are trying to create music, and, you know, you get somebody with ADD going in there, or somebody's, like, his main problem was Mark.
What did you do?
No, hold on, I see this. I see
nothing.
This.
Because Mark, after a song in practice, you know, I mean, we all do it. I mean, you sit there and you fiddle around.
Try to create something.
You got an idea in your head.
You're on your idea, but
it's
you haven't
out
quite
right
figured
it
out yet. So, like, you know, you're playing a little bit afterwards, and he's like, he'd freak out. He'd be like, stop playing, Mark. What the fuck are you doing? You're like, I'm trying to figure out something. And then he would storm off or whatever.
Yeah.
No,
weird. It was for the better, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you cool with him now?
No, we haven't talked to him.
I saw his car. We haven't talked to him since that.
Oh my god, he has
since
a punch
that
in face.
Take your shit and get out of the house.
Yeah,
like,
or pee in his gas tank.
Guy outside of the actual band environment.
Oh, for sure.
It's like he flipped that switch, man.
Yeah,
it wasn't what it was.
Yeah, temper tantrums.
It was World War III.
No, see, this is what about the medium of music to anybody listening that's into all these different arts. I mean, you have acting, you have writing, painting, you have all these wonderful arts, and there isn't a single one of them that I can come up with. Yeah, you have an ensemble on stage when you're acting, but really all you care about is if I look good and I can play off of it even better. But if you suck, I don't look worse for it. The production may suck, but music. It is 100%. We can't make a picture without every single individual making their part.
That makes sense.
That collaborative to paint that picture is so intense. That's why you hear band drama. It's a hard way to create music because I can play a great lick. I can funk it up or I can do whatever. But I need everybody a part of it to make
sense.
It full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Now, here's the point.
Well said, Pat.
Thank you.
Real good. I know.
That was very deep.
I just cried a little.
Well, watch in the car. He's going to kill that interview.
That's right. Bump fist myself.
Watch him flip out at practice.
Like, what? Did you hear
get
me on that?
Fuck
did you
out.
Hear me on the podcast?
Did you hear me on that? Walk in with his monk robes and shit.
Now, this is
get paid overtime for this.
I mean, Jesus Christ, this hour went bad pretty quick. But I do have one more question to ask, and this is my fun question that I love asking bands because there's always an answer to it. Can you guys tell me a time when you guys had a hell gig?
When you guys had a what?
Hell gig.
We call them hell gigs.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Everyone just eyes lit up like, okay. A hell gig, pretty much worst case scenario of anything that ever happened right before you performed and how you got out of it. What you do? What was the situation?
There was that. One comes to mind. Pat's bass.
You talking about bullfrogs?
Huh?
Bullfrogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Pat's bass. He's got active pickups, so he needs his 9-volt, and the wire just broke off.
Yeah, yeah.
How did I fix that? Did I duct tape it or something?
We ducked it in.
I ended up having to like duct tape his bass together pretty much.
The inside of my bass.
Inside of his bass, yeah.
So you lost the bass guitar.
Right. Well,
oh, yeah, no.
No,
this was, it was right before, I think, that happened.
It happened right before, actually.
We actually weren't in the show. We weren't playing yet,
but we had – no, we were – no, we were in mids. We were in mids. We were, like, going in, and we're about to start, and I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't working, and then you open it up,
yeah.
And I'm like – I got this.
We were losing time quick, too.
MacGyver. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but no, it didn't come out great either. We had some weird moments of it, and I played with my back to the audience the whole show because I was so busy flipping with everything.
Oh.
And afterwards, this guy's like, "Hey, man, is that your shtick, man? Back to the audience is pretty fucking cool." And I'm in my mind, I'm just like, "Well, you know, but my mind frame is like, I hated that show. That,
man. But we had a drummer one time forget all of his cymbals. That was fun.
Oh yeah, that was back in the Avenue days.
Yeah.
We got paid to play a graduation party. We drove. It was like 2 hours away.
2 hours, yeah.
And we got there, and he forgot his cymbal bag. So we played the entire show without cymbals.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
He did a lot of fills that day.
A lot.
You kind of have to, right?
You have to.
Just keep it. What if somebody wanted a rip shot? Yeah.
I think a bad show is any time, like, you know, you're giving everything to it, and it feels great, and you end the song all powerful, you're looking at each other, and you're all just like, yeah, and out in the audience, it's like, and that's usually that because you're
well,
in
and then that's the end of that feeling.
Well, right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, me.
You were feeling that, and then the song ended, and then there was nothing, and then you're like,
you're all deflated.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're kind of like,
you're just like,
yeah. What's next on the list?
I blew out
my amp at the Magic.
Oh, right? Yeah, you did. Yeah. What a night.
What did we do for that?
We just played without him for a moment.
Else's.
You did. Oh, yeah. While we were playing a song, you were working with someone else to get a new one up there.
Yeah,
that worked out all right.
I mean.
Actually, it was better because the band after us didn't have a bass player, and they kept calling out for a bass player. Anybody want to play bass? You want to play bass? You want to come out and play bass? And this was after that exact show, and I was like, well, could be worse. Could be them.
Right.
Yeah, that was like the first song, too. I played like two chords. It was like...
Oh, yeah, you didn't even make it through the first song, did you?
No.
Yeah, it went... No wonder it sounded so good. I couldn't help it. I had to go in.
Guys, that's been all great stories. First of all, when I say hell gigs, there are no bad. I have heard some horrible shit. And, like, I've heard where chickens died. I've heard where people have ran over. And this is one of the few times I had to work up enough courage because I have just a tad bit of time. I'll give one of my hell gigs.
All right.
I mean, like, it's only fair
you
guys did
this. No, but it's on the table.
It is only fair.
It is only fair. It is. Oh, God. Here it is. I used to sing open mic just with a bunch of my friends and a band we put together, like, that week called The Best. That was our band name.
Well, that's a curse, but go on.
Yeah, it's we figured that out. Yeah. Because we played a few open mics as The Best. That means...
All right.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Immediately, you have to be the best. Because if you come anywhere short of that, you suck.
Right.
And we did our song. We did two songs. And we have one more left. And our little gimmick was always like, we'll ask the crowd. We'll ask the crowd what they want, right? You got a singer, you have a drummer, rhythm and bass, right? Much like you guys.
All right.
Yeah.
We asked the crowd, what request did they have? A resounding thing. Here's what you heard from the crowd. I want to hear Piano Man.
Oh.
Oh!
What?
Oh.
Who was there?
Don't care.
Oh.
And then the crowd immediately was like,
jumped on it.
Yes!
Yeah, they jumped on it.
Yes, I want to hear Piano Man.
Oh. Yep. I was in a crowd that did the same thing to another band.
God.
It was awful.
We always get Slayer for whatever.
Yeah, Piano Man.
Slayer! Yeah! And you're like, no! Yeah!
Quiet as kept, The Best does not exist anymore.
Yeah, right. Because they couldn't throw out the Piano Man.
Yes! Hence, no one had a piano.
Hence, The Best doesn't do piano songs.
Next
it's always
choice.
Good to have Piano Man in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's the lesson from this. Freebird's another one. To any band out there, learn
like,
a little Freebird.
Do Freebird.
That always gets thrown out.
We were counting on Freebird.
That's usually what they throw.
Yeah. Yes!
Yeah.
We were like, yeah, we could do that.
Oh, you should have done it anyway. Oh, man. If you would have thrown on Freebird, are you kidding me?
But they won Piano Man.
That would have been the whole set, though.
They won Billy Joel.
They won Billy Joel. No one had.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere near the equipment.
So, so what did you do on stage after that?
Here's what we did. I'm sorry. Can we... We addressed the crowd. We get up to the mic and we said, I'm sorry, we can't play that one. Do you have another suggestion? And then they just hammered us with boo.
Yep. Oh, yep. Yep. And there goes the bass.
Daggers and arrows and knives, just like everything. Yeah.
Oh my God. It was quiet right at home.
Tab goes up. The beer tab goes up.
Immediately.
It was.
You know what?
I'm just going to go.
I rode my river of tears home.
We know it. We know Piano Man. We just are not equipped to do so.
Yeah. It's always better in hindsight. You should have just said, well, our piano player isn't here tonight for everyone tonight, and we will do that. Come to our next show. We'll have it freaking ready
for
you.
We weren't that smart.
Yeah.
We all looked at each other. We did.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's.
You're like, all right, that's a wrap, guys.
Can we pick another one? Tried to mulligan our way from a request.
You know what? I played
it. You wouldn't want to hear this song.
Yeah, I played in cover bands, and everybody just assumes you're just one giant jukebox or a music store. They expect you to know everything, and it's like it's impossible because you can walk in there with 60 songs, and then someone says, Don't Stop Believing, you know, and you're like,
that's a staple.
Well, it is. We had
that. Terrible example.
It was. I'm trying to think of something good. But
it's
we
get it.
Especially living in
the point. Thanks, Mark.
The point
thanks for understanding. Do I get my hug?
That's like my go-to.
Free hugs.
Put the 12th song off.
Who doesn't know that one? You know what I mean? I mean,
sorry to jump all over them.
What kind of cover band are you?
Yeah, but right.
No, I'm on your side. I don't know that one.
No, we're kidding. I feel bad whoever's got to sing that. They got to put a C-clamp on their balls to hit some of those notes.
Or you could do your your interpretation.
I was like, that would be enjoyable.
A cape under the balls.
Right. Todd just got a spindle chuck.
Yeah, that's right. Spindle chuck in the house.
He's bringing it full circle. But guys, this has been hell of an hour. Thank you. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. Yeah. One more time. Twitter, Facebook, everything.
RedTapeRiot.com, Facebook/RedTapeRiot, Twitter/RTRiot.
Spit it.
ReverbNation/ Red Tape Riot. SoundCloud. Red Tape Riot. I'm not exactly sure on that one.
RedTapeRiot.com is definitely
the
place to be.
The place,
One stop shop.
If you go on RedTapeRiot.com, actually,
there's links to all the others.
To all that stuff. So.
And don't be afraid.
And there's also links to other cool Detroit bands that we run into that.
And it's the only place to get Riot gear.
I recommend you guys checking out, too.
Get your Riot gear.
Yeah, that's right. Sure.
Get your Riot gear. I like that. All right, guys. This has been fun, man. I mean,
I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot for having us.
Sam is awesome.
Blast.
All the time, man. Nice.
Talking with Sam.
So that was the show. That was my podcast with the guys from Red Tape Riot. I want to give a special thanks to Mark, Todd, Pat, and Jeff for coming on with you, man, kicking it. We sat down, we talked about a lot of topics. Hopefully that got y'all a little introspective into the band themselves. Hopefully that made you better fans of them. Well, whatever it is, I hope you check these guys out. As always, you can go to your one-stop shop for those guys at RedTapeRiot.com. And as always, here you can go to the podcast for anything, you know, Just Talking with Sam podcast related. You can always go to SamShowNation.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at SamShow11 on Twitter, Facebook/JustTalkWithSam. But before I get out of here, I'm going to leave you guys with a treat. You got it. We talked about it on the show a bit, and I'd be remiss if I didn't play it. I'm going to play us out one more Red Tape Riot song. This song is called Home. You probably heard it before, but it ain't worth hearing it again. This is Home by Red Tape Riot. I will see you guys next week.
to breathe this life to the ground tonight. But I can't come back home. She